Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
On this episode, I'm going to share seven numbers you must track if you want to run a profitable and growing business. Now, these numbers will ensure you have enough work coming in, that you're doing profitable work, that you're turning that work into cash, and you can make good decisions about when and how to grow your business. Now, after working with thousands of businesses, we know that those who commit to consistently measuring these seven numbers see dramatic improvements in their profitability, and more importantly, the stress of running their business goes way down. It will also reveal the one number that every tradie and contractor overlooks until they understand the power of measuring. Now, if you're tired of guessing whether your business is performing well, this episode will help you focus on the numbers that matter the most. Welcome to the podcast, Phil. How are you going?
Good, mate. Good.
Numbers, it's everything, isn't it?
It is everything. And today we're talking about the seven numbers that you must track to run a profitable and growing business. So it should be a banger, I reckon.
It is. And look, if you don't do this, bad stuff happens. And we see it all the time. You're running around flying blind. You don't know what's working in your business. You know, often you'll carry on doing work that's not profitable. Sometimes you'll stop doing work that is profitable. You'll stop doing marketing that is profitable. You don't know what's working, and you can't make decisions. You end up stressed, and it's super, super difficult. You can't really make progress without measuring.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head about flying blind. I think there's a lot of people out there that are trying to run their business in a way that's actually going to be profitable and deliver everything that they want from it. But unfortunately, they don't track anything. And so you end up a wee bit like the Moneyball situation, right? Where everything's on gut feel. And I think this is a movie that we both like. And
love and Billy Bean, Oakland A's.
That's it. And it kind of, I think it makes the point pretty clearly. So,
And if you haven't watched Moneyball, you should. Brad Pitt is pretty good in this one. The big clubs, you know, they had scouts, they had lots of data, they're looking at lots of stuff and gut feels and all that sort of stuff. Oakland A's had one of the smallest budgets in baseball, but they went about it really differently. They really got into the stats that counted, and that meant that they were able to, you know, create a successful team. They had a fantastic record in that particular year, 103 wins, I think 59 losses. They went 20 on the bounce, you know, winning. They didn't win the championship, but they did really well. For a small budget team. And that's because they measured the stuff that counted. And so the same happens in your business. If you measure the stuff that counts, you're going to get better results. It's a real simple sort of feedback process, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you measure what's working and figure out what's not.
Well, I think the thing with the Oakland A's was that was just an absolutely crazy thing at the time. You know, like everybody was going off gut feel, looking at who was the big names and who had a lot of promise, and all of the scouts out there were all on...
Who had a hot girlfriend?
Yeah, well, that was in the movie, yeah. But yep. I think the key is like everybody was running around like based on gut feelings. Like, I know what I'm looking at, right? And I think that's very, very true in business too. There's so many people out there, I know what I'm looking at, I know what I'm dealing with, I know whether things are going well, but not really digging into the stats. And these days, if you look at baseball, I mean, it's all on stats. Actually, most professional sport is all on stats, and actually business should be too. And the ones that really crush it, they do this right. So
that's exactly right.
Let's get into the seven stats.
So there's seven stats. Now, the first one is kind of a bit controversial. You'd think that you'd measure revenue first, and that is one of the seven, but for me, that's not the one you start with.
Well, no, revenue is a result of other actions, right? So you can't actually start with revenue because it's not the first thing that comes.
Yeah, so and this is what most, tradies, contractors, plumbers, etc. don't measure companies is leads. Mm. Where are your inquiries and your leads coming from? How many are you getting? This kicks off the process. If you don't have enough job opportunities coming in, which are effectively leads, then you know, you can't grow a business. And most people leave this to chance. They don't measure it. They don't know which type of leads actually turn into jobs. They don't know how much their leads cost. You know, our cost of acquisition is massive. So you really want to measure that to get a feel for how many leads you're getting, where they're coming from, how much they're costing you, and then you can make some decisions about your marketing. Is it working or not? And you can actually proactively drive the growth of your business when you measure your leads. So that's definitely an important one.
Yeah, well, I think it's crucial because we get a lot of people that come to us and they say, you know, they're hitting a certain revenue level, maybe, you know, 50K a month, could be 100K a month, could be 200K a month, could be 500K a month, whatever, but they probably have good months and bad months. You know, so it's not actually very consistent. And we'll say, well, what's your target? And they might say whatever number it is. And we say, well, how sure are you're going to hit that next month? Oh, well, I don't know. This seems like work in the pipeline. It's like, well, how many leads have you got? Don't know. How many leads do you need to make that true?
Don't know.
And that's actually the problem, is that if you don't know how many leads you need to get the amount of jobs you need, to get the amount of revenue you need, then you don't actually know what action you should take to make that revenue come true. And so you need to begin with leads, because that's where your revenue comes from, right?
Yeah. So almost inevitably, people aren't where they want to be, and that's because there's a delta in the leads they need versus what they're getting.
And when we come to that cost per lead, you know, tracking the cost of actually getting jobs, again, if you're not tracking that, then you might find once we get into the leads, people say, well, I need more leads this month or I'm not going to hit my target. Well, cool. Hey, we've done number one. They're starting to get it. And I'm like, cool. Well, how much more do you need to spend? And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, if you know what it costs to get a lead through the marketing channels you use, then you know how much more you need to spend to fill the deficit. And we can figure out if that's actually going to be profitable for the revenue that you want. And, you know, we can work this backwards to a plan. Whereas if you don't know how many leads you need, you don't know what it costs you to get a job, you don't know what a job is worth to you, I mean, we start to run into a whole lot of ambiguity, right? So, but leads is not where it ends, right? Like, you still don't have a job yet. You've got a lead, but that's not a job. It's not yet revenue.
Well, and this is another area that people really let themselves down is, how good are you at actually taking the leads you get and turning them into paying jobs, booked jobs? And that is your conversion rate. So that's basically how good are you at sales. It's absolutely critical. And what people forget, it doesn't matter what trade you're in, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, whatever it is, you are fundamentally a marketing and a sales business because that kicks everything off.
Well, every business is a marketing and sales
business.
That's
exactly
right. Without marketing and sales, you don't have a business because you've got no revenue, in which case you might have expenses and you might say, I'm a business because I've signed up for a bunch of expenses. But without the revenue, you can't pay for the expenses and you don't make any profit. And if you're not making profit, you're not a business.
That's
you're
right.
Probably not even a charity at that point, honestly. So
the leads part of it to sales is the conversion, and that's critical because that's like, that could be a big hole. You know, often people don't have the work they want, and the reason is they got plenty of leads, but they're just not very good at turning them into jobs. And so they don't have any process, they don't have any follow-up, they're weak around this, they're just not very professional in their, you know, their branding or their image. And so you got to really understand this one. And there's huge opportunity here. You know, this is actually stuff that is kind of money for jam. You've already paid for the lead, you're already doing the pricing or the estimating. If you get good at this, you're going to turn more of that work into paying work, which is, you know, you don't want to do unpaid work because pricing jobs that you don't win is unpaid work.
Yeah.
It really sucks.
Yeah.
So you want to turn it into paid work. So measuring that conversion rate is critical. And there's several things you can do here. You can measure the number of inquiries you've got to the number of jobs. That's the overall conversion rate. And then what a lot of businesses, once they get, you know, that's the starting point. If you just do that, you're going to be ahead of 80% of people. But you can go further. You can measure, you know, how many inquiries turn into quotes or bids, and then how many bids turn into sales, so that you can break that down.
Yeah,
and you can
and
break
actually,
it down
more
by
you, the more you break it down, the better.
That's right.
Because you start to see the holes in your process. Like, yep. Where am I actually performing? Where am I not? What am I good at? What am I not good at? You know, you might find that overall your conversion rate might be 50%, but you might find that actually you converted 100% from step to step, apart from when you actually present your bid, which would say, well, I'm not doing this very well, right? So It wherever your biggest drop-off is in conversion rate from step to step in your sales process points very directly at what to fix, because I think a lot of the time we say my conversion rate's not where I want it to be, I need to get better at sales. Well, what does that mean? Like, what are you actually trying to work on? Which step of your sales process is not working? Like, which script would you want to change? Which template would you want to change? Which email is not effective? Which part of the follow-up is not actually working? Whatever it might be. But you need to get granular to figure that out.
Yeah.
Now, as you said, overall is better than most. So at least getting that is crucial. But when you get really good at this, you can start to look at your conversion rate from step to step.
And also you can do it by the niche you're in. So, you know, you might have some work. And we often find, we've seen a lot of our members, maybe they're pricing large commercial jobs and they don't win very many of them. And they put a lot of time and effort into it. It might be a very price sensitive market relative to other work where they actually have a much better hit rate. So that helps you with some decision making. Mm. If you've got different sales reps, you can measure their conversion rates because, you know, some are going to be better than others. Some will be like the benchmark you want your other guys to get to. So all of that really counts to get more value out of the pricing work you do and the leads that you have. And that leads to, you know, leads times conversion rate gives us
jobs. And the minute we have jobs, now we have revenue, which is obviously where a lot of people think it starts. But, you know, those first two stats are crucial to actually make the revenue true. So then we get to revenue, which is, you know, top line P&L.
So revenue is obviously very important. That effect, it's not the cash you get paid for the period. This is very important to understand. It's the invoices that you send out, which equates to the amount of chargeable work your business has done for a month, let's say, or a year, whatever period you choose. So this is very important. It's the amount of work the business has done, not what it's paid for. So it's, you know, how much work are you getting through? And as you track it over time, you can see, is your business growing or shrinking, or is it kind of the same?
Yeah.
And so it's pretty simple. The thing is, revenue is kind of like when you play golf, it's like driving for show, but putting for dough is about profit. So the most important thing, once you know the revenue, is the profit.
Yeah, well, because it doesn't matter how much revenue you did. It's like how much of it did you keep is really what
that's
we're talking about.
Counts.
So
yeah.
Obviously there's a couple of different types of profit though. So the first one we want to look at is gross profit. And obviously gross profit is just your revenue minus your cost of goods sold. And you know, for the rest of this ep, we're going to call it COGS, cost of goods sold. Now, that's obviously made up out of, you know, materials, labor, and any, you know, subby hires and any equipment hire that's specific to a job. Yep. So it's
and I just want to clarify that. It has to be specific to the job. It's not any overheads. It's not, you know, office stuff. You're not adding overheads or any of that stuff to this cost. It's just the stuff that changes as you do the job.
Yeah, and this can be confusing because people say, oh, well, you know, I've used this and that on a job. It wasn't materials, it wasn't labor, but it definitely went into this job. I'm like, hey, dude, everything you use kind of goes into a job, but unless you can figure out how much internet you used on this job, I mean, come
it's
on,
not
you
bad.
Can't factor it.
Yeah,
so it's just materials directly into jobs, labor directly into jobs, so guys in the field, any subbies you use directly on jobs, and any equipment you had to hire specifically for a job. That's essentially what goes into your cost of goods. So you take that away from your revenue, you're left with your gross profit, which is the middle line of your P&L. And obviously, you know, this is going to show you a few things.
Yeah,
your gross profit's going up and down. It's going to tell you a bit about your pricing. It's going to tell you a bit about the efficiency and productivity on site, how well you're getting through jobs. You know, obviously, this is going to go down if you have a lot of rework, callbacks, and the likes. And you want to also be able to, you know, look at this in two different frames. So one being your gross profit per job, which we figure out in back costing. So how profitable was that job? How close was it to what I priced? How did we perform? Versus obviously overall on your profit and loss. And what this is going to tell you is, firstly, how well I'm doing my jobs. Secondly is how well am I balancing the rest of my expenses turning into net profit? And if there's a discrepancy between I price most of my work 30-40%, let's say 40%, and I'm getting 40% of my work, but I'm only getting 30 on my P&L overall, starts to tell me other things like labor utilization might not be that good.
I'm wasting time. I'm not billing out as much time as I could. And this gross profit is for me absolutely critical because it tells you, it's like the engine room of your business. You have to make good profit on the jobs you do because then that will cover the overheads and leave you profit. So absolutely critical to focus on the gross profit. And once you've got gross profit organized, there's the net profit. That sort of comes below it. So you've got revenue less gross profit gives you net profit. And that's the profit that your business makes as a whole.
Like, well, just to clarify there, it wasn't revenue minus gross profit. It was gross profit minus your operational expenses
100%
equals net profit.
My apologies.
Yeah.
So
just
that's
sort of catch you
I'm putting everyone crook there. So definitely gross profit less overheads gives you your net. And it really helps you understand, your overheads, are they at the right level for the gross profit you're making? You know, are they too high or too low? Helps you understand if you've got capacity to grow. You know, like if your business has very low overheads, you might think that's fantastic, but often it's not fantastic because everyone's tapped out. You don't have enough people or systems in your business to grow the business. That's
very
important.
You have no infrastructure.
No infrastructure. You know, like you might be running a crew of 10 people doing it all yourself and all the pricing. Well, you're going to really struggle to grow with that. And you have very low overheads. You might... but you're not going to grow because you just
blow up. Well, we see it all the time.
Up.
People come to us and say, hey, I'm more profitable than I've ever been, but I'm absolutely tapped and I'm hating my life. And I'm like, well, what percentage of revenue are your overheads? And they say, oh, like 10%. And I'm like, cool, well, your net profit's overinflated because basically you're just absolutely killing yourself in the place of the infrastructure that you should have. So it's like, yeah, cool that you're making money, dude, but like this is not sustainable. So it's all about getting the right balance between having the right amount of infrastructure to handle the business you've got, a little bit of extra infrastructure so that you can actually handle some growth, but also a good balance between your overheads and your gross profit so that your net profit is still healthy because at the end of the day, we need to be making money. That's why we're in business.
Yeah, and net just tells you how much money the business is making. And a really good thing to do with it is to figure it out as a percentage of sales. You know, if your net profit is $10,000 and your sales revenue is $100,000, that's 10%. And so there are some good I know you love a good benchmark, mate.
I hate benchmarks.
But I think benchmarks are quite good for net profit anyway. So
you're going to go ahead and say it
anyway.
Yeah,
yeah. But, you know, if you're hitting 15% net profit, if you're a smaller business, maybe it's a bit higher, 20%, you're probably doing okay profitability-wise. So it is important. And the thing about net profit is that's what you pay tax on. That's what the tax office will chase you for,
yeah,
for your fair share.
That's right. That's right. But hey, after you've paid that tax, it's also the rest of it is essentially what you take home, provided you don't have off P&L expenses. So I think in this case,
let's not get into that. That is not one of the seven. Remember, this is simplicity. So yeah, leads so far, conversion rate, revenue, gross profit, net profit.
I do think, though, your point about a percentage of sales is important, because I think it's really easy sometimes to say, hey, I made $10,000 this month, and think, that's cool, that's amazing, like $10,000, it's great. But it's like, if it was $10,000 out of $1 million revenue, I'm like, that's terrible, this is horrible, like, where you're not performing, you know? So
not so good.
That's right. So it's like, hey, you bank dollars, not percentages, but the percentage will tell you how you're actually performing and whether you could be doing better. And I think that's really important, because it keeps you in perspective.
So you make the profit, but that's on paper. That's on paper. Unfortunately, you actually cannot pay your bills with paper. You have to pay it with money.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And so we got to make sure we can pay our bills. So number six is about your accounts receivable. And basically, we got to make sure that our accounts receivable will get paid, so we've got cash in our bank to pay our bills. So the key measure here is your accounts receivable as a percentage of monthly revenue overdue.
Yeah, which I think is very important as well, because when you look at the way that this comes through in your financial reports, is that if you're doing accrual-based accounting, you know, what's going to happen is that you send an invoice that goes straight to your revenue. What then happens is that's going to translate down through to net profit. It's going to tell you have a profit. But if people haven't actually paid for those jobs, you still have registered the revenue and therefore the profit, but you don't have the cash.
You don't have
this
the cash.
This shows up on your balance sheet actually as an asset in accounts receivable, telling you that your business is actually doing well because you have these assets, but it's actually cash that you don't have. And so if that never comes in and is never realized, then that profit result is not true. And then if you don't write off that cash by tax time, you're going to pay tax on profit that you didn't even make, which becomes a real issue. Yeah. So getting paid on time and in full is absolutely crucial to making the rest of
the measure here is your accounts receivable overdue as a percentage of monthly revenue. You do not want that any higher than 5%. Because any higher than 5%, basically your customers have got your money and they're using it to fund their businesses, and you don't have it to pay your bills and to fund your business and your lifestyle.
Yeah, well, you're a bank, but you don't make any interest. Yeah.
So you've got to measure that. Like that cash flow thing is absolutely critical. So that is number six. Number seven.
Do we have enough work? Looking at forward work, you know, because I think the real thing here is that we talked about leads earlier. But what we really also have to look at is what's coming down the pipeline, what's next. So it's not just did we have enough leads in the rearview mirror to get to where we want to be, how do we perform for leads, but how are we looking moving forward
What have we got locked in?
Yeah, which is really crucial, because if we don't know how we're going to perform moving forward, we can't make decisions about what we need to do next. So if you've got tons of work coming down the pipe, you know, you might have signed millions of dollars worth of work, but you know, if you still have the same size team and you have more work than what that team can do, then even though you've sold all these jobs, you can't do them that fast, which means your revenue doesn't actually grow. You just have to push all the work out, which also pisses off your customers, potentially lose work you already won. So if you know you've won heaps of work moving forward, you know you need to hire more staff, and you can start to actually forward plan, which is really cool. You know you don't have heaps of work moving forward, you know you need to ramp up your marketing and sales efforts, but it tells you what to do next.
I can think of one of our members. He's in Orange County in New York, and he was super happy about the 8 months worth of work that he had in front of his team. He was wearing that as a badge of honor. And when you actually look at that, the 8 months is actually, and he's been like that for a long time. And he's like, well, I feel good there. Like, I've got plenty of work to keep people busy. But actually, it's a big problem because he's stopping the growth of his business, because actually what he should be doing is hiring people and getting that down to 3 months and then getting more work and growing his business. So this is what helps that way. It also helps, okay, we've got $100,000 worth of forward work, and normally our revenue a month is $400,000. We've got a big problem. We've got a week's worth of work. So what's happening? And that then helps you look at the leads and the conversion to work on that. So it's super, super important, and it's going to help you feel comfortable about where you are at with the business rather than guesswork.
Yeah.
That's massive. So I got to track that as well.
But we do have one other stat, which was the hidden one, and I know you've been itching to talk about
this. This one is super important, and you know, we've realized this. We've got a team of 80 in our business and growing, and we've got lots of members with large teams. They're doing, you know, millions of dollars of revenue a month. And they have large teams. So to do that successfully, you really need to have something that measures where your team is at, because that can blow up in your face really quickly. And if you're a long way away from everyone on the ground floor, which happens as your business grows, you need to know that people are good. So here's a really simple one you can do. It's called ENPS, Super, super simple. Every month you just ask your employees on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to refer a friend or associate to work here? And you're looking for 9s and 10s. Hmm. If you're getting 9s and 10s, they're happy. If they are 7 or below, they're not happy. And so you can work out a score, you know, percentage of how happy the people are overall. And that's massive. It's really a measure of culture.
Yeah.
And culture drives everything. So that gives you like a temperature check or a thermometer of where the culture is of the business. If you've got any size team, this is absolutely critical because that can blow out really quickly and then everything else unravels. So
it can also blow up really quickly in a great way because if you've got a really, really great culture and you got that finger on the pulse, you know that things are going well, you know the team is stoked. The other thing is that you see that forward work going up, you need more team members. Well, it's going to be easier to find them if you're an employer of choice. You know, like you're going to get more people that are referred to work for you. You're going to get more of your team bringing their mates along. You're going to get just an easier way of onboarding people and bringing them into your environment because they're coming into a great environment. Like all of that stuff's going to be easier as well. So it's a good way to know basically like how easy is it going to be to keep this ship moving? Because really like without the team behind you, everything's going to either be easier or harder. So yet knowing where you're at with it is crucial.
It is. So 7 things you've absolutely got to measure. If you do this, you'll go well. You will go well. And that's your leads, your conversion, your revenue, gross profit, net profit, accounts receivable overdue, and forward work. And number 8 for experts is the ENPS is going to make a big difference as well. Look, if you measure these, and if you feel overwhelmed by doing all of them at once, like start with one and then do the next one and then the next one because each step will get you further ahead. And here's what happens. Once you start measuring these, you get so addicted to the results of this, there'll be other stuff that you start to dig into just naturally. That's what happens here. And you get on the front foot with this stuff. But don't worry about all of that now. Just do these 7,
yep.
And you'll crush it in your business.
Yeah, and for those of you that might have noticed, yes, they were in order because one leads to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Like each step there, each stat that you had to measure, it's not that relevant if you didn't nail the one before it because you need to know how everything's tracking in that order. Like, that's how money moves through your business, really. So yeah. I think we've made some good points. Let's land this plane.
Alrighty. Most tradies aren't measuring enough, and the few numbers that they actually look at are based on gut feel rather than facts. So just start simple. Pick these 7 numbers, review them consistently, and use them to make better decisions. Now, your profitability will skyrocket, and your stress levels will plummet. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.